Good morning to all the nighttime travelers. Good morning to all the folks that are up so late. You don't know if it's the evening or the morning or the quickening or the witchening. You don't know if it's that special power hour. The witch's hour. It is August the 14th. August the 14th, 2021, in the age of transcendental boblimpdonk. And it is right around 1:23 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in Utah. That's Utah. That's the place where you go when you've been chased out of every other place. Utah is the place where you go when you want to establish a kind of brand new, I don't know, church or something. You go to Utah. You come to Utah for the desert and the rock. You come here for the water. You come here for alfalfa. You come here for alfalfa. It's magical. It helps your horse grow. You get it from here. Get it today. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, it's either Saturday night or Sunday night, and it's either, you know, it's sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight on WRMI 5950 kilohertz. That's right, WRMI 5950 kilohertz out of Miami, Okeechobee. Beyond the Everglades, beyond Florida, where the spider kings hold council. Beyond the Caribbean, beyond Jamaica, beyond Port-au-Prince, there's a place out there somewhere, right? Where you can lay your weary head on a sandy beach and maybe cook some type of a sand dab or sand clam or some type of rim ram fish, and you can feel like you're some type of special person somewhere out there. In the previous podcast, in terms of publishing, Learn to Say No, I got kind of emotional. And I just want to say I'm sorry, because that can be a bit gross on radio. It's not allowed on shortwave. You're not allowed to be sad on shortwave. And by the way, if you are listening on shortwave, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/shownotes. And if you pick the right date, you'll get the right notes. And then you can read whatever link, whatever fear porn, whatever monstrous lie I was exposed to that day. And thereby, I'm taking the gift of pain and suffering and handing it off to you in the age of boblimpdonk. In the previous podcast, I put forward the supposition that the pattern of what they're doing could match, in my opinion, two basic cases. Case one is global catastrophe. And that would also imply that they are basically doing the PSYOP everywhere. That's the thing. I don't really have good evidence yet that it's just being done to us. I have limited evidence, very anecdotal, but it seems like there could be a strong case soon that most of this PSYOP, most of these military psychological warfare operations are being directed just at Americans. So, which is great, right? Happy you pay your taxes, right? Now, one explanation, like I said, would be catastrophe. It would be a fuzzy catastrophe because I don't think they control the schedule. It's clear to me that they did a rerun of some storylines from the original COVID story. So, yeah, when you're in reruns with Happy Days, you kind of have to ask your question, how much longer does this last? I would say they don't control the schedule, but they were hoping they could run out the clock. And while they did that, I think it's obvious the main message of the PSYOP was don't do anything, don't go anywhere, don't rock the boat, don't talk to people. The main message has been just be quiet and stay home. And maybe the vaccine is designed to kill. I really don't know. But that really doesn't change the possibility that it's one of two basic cases at this point. And I don't think it's one of them is reset. I don't think so. One is a global catastrophe. One that is so bad that you would have to do this and you could explain it to people. Like, because think about all the people that would have to participate in these operations for them to work. It's a lot of people. It's not everybody, but you need to have enough people, and it's a big number. So if these are like, you know, veterans and patriots and not just mercenaries, they might want you to say, why are you doing this? Why are we doing this to Americans? Some people, some colonel or major, male or female, it's not about gender, it's about principles. Some particular officer at some point, I think, I would hope, would ask the question, why are we doing this? And so whoever runs this thing would have to have a, you know, frankly, a story, a narrative, a gaslight type story for these officers and say, you know what? We're doing it because of a catastrophe, which could be real. It could be a real catastrophe. And that's the point. They might have great evidence and they might convince all the intelligent generals and colonels and majors and whatnot and sergeants, everyone they need to. They might have a compelling argument. If they do, they're keeping it secret. And so far, I've only found one thing that would account for this type of catastrophe, and I'm not interested in discussing it because it could be a total fear monkey. And I'm not interested in having any, and I'm not interested in sharing any. I don't think any of us need more fear. In my previous podcast, I said, if it's not a catastrophe, what if it's because the dollar has collapsed? You know, Jim Willie made this argument that when we get to a certain point, there'll be two currencies. One currency internal, one external for trade. And I've been kind of skeptical of his theories. And you know what? I don't know what he knows. And he's a brilliant guy. So let's give him credit and benefit of the doubt and say, what if he's right? And what if what we're seeing right now is a campaign to convince Americans that a dollar collapse is a virus and a race war and a hacker and, you know, whatever, you know, oh, it's a snowstorm in Brazil. China's going back to Maoism. They're shutting down ports in China. You know, there's an orange picker shortage someplace. But the point is, what if all these stories that they come up with, including the Ever Given story, which seemed, it just seems sketchy to begin with there. But what if all these stories really are just designed to cover up the fact that the dollar is being rejected? And what if this is their fancy schmancy Tavistock Institute, you know, manipulative CIA way of doing this? They're just going to convince you it's hackers and anarchists and people starting fires. They're just going to convince you it's everything but them. But what if it's them? And what if ultimately the dollar is being rejected? You know, there's been an argument made by many that the only thing that holds up the crooked empire is the US dollar. You take away that credit card, and it's really not the same thing any longer. And so what if it's not a natural catastrophe? What if what they're doing is covering up what is happening right now? The collapse of the US dollar. And I'll go a step further. If that's true, and I don't know how to put it, it means that the crypto thing is kind of owned. Because it seems to be supporting the propaganda case and not the alternative case. The propaganda case is, yeah, the dollar is going to be printed to crap, but it will always be there and the electricity will always be on and the electricity will always be really cheap. This is the crypto perspective. It's a bit jaded. It's a bit twisted. You kind of have to believe in your enemy if you're into crypto. Your decentralized network depends upon a lot of highly centralized systems. So anywho, what if this whole thing, the entire purpose of the message starting in March of 2020, stay home, don't talk to your friends. Keep in mind, folks, whether you're talking about Zoltan Pozsar, who's a financial analyst, well-known on Wall Street, one of these folks who was saying, warning, the repo market is tipping over and going sideways and going wonky. And he did that. And he warned people in the late spring of 2019. And I'll tell you something else, too. I told people in February of 2019 that the screwbalee was coming. That's what I called it, the screwbalee. But what if it is worse than a screwbalee? In one sense, worse. Which means that what if the empire completely collapses like, a honey puff pancake or Dutch baby after you take it out of the oven and it cools for 5 minutes? What if it just collapses and it collapses rapidly? Well, it's like the Afghanistan story. Some of these stories don't really add up. And here's the horrible truth of it, folks. The problem is the very explanation that I find reasonable for governmental collapse is more or less the same as global catastrophe. Everything that fits into one column fits into the other. So that is kind of the dark side of this podcast, is that I think we're down to two possibilities. Either they've convinced a lot of people to gaslight their fellow human beings and perhaps mainly Americans because they're afraid that they don't want a lot of crazy Americans on the road whenever it happens. Maybe it's Yellowstone. Maybe it's some super earthquake. Who knows? I've mentioned the clathrate gun, and I'm not going to mention it much because, like I said, I don't really think it's that. But there's a lot of stuff out there right now that points that direction. And it could just be propaganda. Everything about permafrost collapse could be propaganda. So that's what I'm saying. What if they have gotten so much control of the feeds of information coming in that what they've achieved is really just a fancy version of what you'd find in North Korea? What if Jim Willie is right? What if there's $2 right now? And there's also two realities. There's the truth, which is somewhere outside the bubble of the United States, which I don't know where that is, frankly. And then there's what we have inside of here, which is madness and falsehood. And I think there is good news too, my friends. I think many people are saying no. In the previous podcast, I emphasized this idea that we need to learn to say no, but there does appear evidence from people I've talked to, not just in the news stuff, but from people I've spoken with, that people are just turning off the PSYOP. They're turning off the fear campaign. They're choosing to reject the lie, and this perhaps will not just save their lives. This perhaps could be how we all reject the empire. The original title for the previous podcast was The Quiet Civil War. Because I got to say something. I have never been in combat. I've served, but I've never been in combat. But I'm fairly certain there are a lot of just honest, you know, brave and frankly slightly damaged veterans who would probably prefer we not have a civil war. I think the country's tired of war. I think we're tired of using war as a tool to solve problems. It doesn't solve anything. It just ruins people's lives. So I think there is this inclination to not want to have a civil war. At the same time, I think there are a lot of Americans who are being pushed to their limits. So I'm going to give you a hypothetical. And it's kind of optimistic, and it's related to the general discussion of the PSYOPs and whatnot. Because even if adrenal fatigue is one of their goals, its purpose is still the same. They don't want you to mess with them while they manage the fire sale of the United States of America. They don't want you to have an opinion, and whoever they sell you out to, that's their business. That's what they're doing right now if this is the case. They're figuring out who they're going to sell out and how, if that's what's going on. You know, especially if the story about China is total BS, you know, the whole China's shutting down, ports are shutting down, Mao Zedong rose from the dead, he's offering orange chicken, Mao Zedong is offering orange chicken, yeah, he's opening a restaurant. The story in the news this week was how China is shutting down. And again, I know I'm going over some of the terrain from the previous podcast, but I want to emphasize this. There's more than one interpretation of these facts. I think there are two dominant interpretations, and the two are global catastrophe. That explains the arrogance too. The arrogance gets explained in both columns. I would say they're acting as if there's no consequences. They're acting as if they can break the law and it doesn't matter. It seems like they know something. So either they are managing a transition where it won't matter, they're not going to get prosecuted, or something so terrible is about to happen that even if there are people left alive, they'll simply, you know, be too busy trying to stay that way. So I don't want to belabor the catastrophe point, but we got to remember these things could fit in both columns. And if this is true, if the system is this weak, then what if? What if there are a few governors, a few mayors, a few senators, a few generals, a few colonels? What if there's actually a few people left in what we were told used to be a free republic? What if they're left and they're starting to say no? There's an urban legend about August of 2013. Supposedly, in August of 2013, President Obama wanted to take an American tactical nuke, or maybe one, you know, built in Israel to fake somebody else's nuke. Probably that would be more likely. They wanted to take a nuke like that and explode it off the coast of, like, I think, North or South Carolina. And they didn't want to kill anybody, really. They just wanted to do something spectacular and scary and then blame it on the Syrians. I mean, of course, there would have been fallout, probably. Of course, there would have been some cancers linked later on. Of course, it's a terribly just dark and evil thing to do, to set off a nuclear weapon willy-nilly. But supposedly in August of 2013, President Obama wanted to set off a nuke off the coast, off the east coast of the U.S., so that he could have the pretext to invade Syria. And part of the urban legend is that there was an admiral or a U.S. Air Force general, could have been either or, could have been two of them together, and they simply said no. Because A, they weren't being given a formal order. Keep in mind, Obama might be a crappy lawyer, but he is a lawyer. So he knows that if he gives a formal order, he'll get in trouble. But if he just says, hey, General, will you contact my friend in the Mossad? Javi Shurgin, and tell him I need one of their 15 kiloton specials. We want to just drop it someplace off the Carolinas. Don't hit the seabirds. Don't hit the whales. Who knows? But the thing is, he simply wanted the general to just do it without a written order. And the general said no. That could be urban legend. I have become so cynical in these recent months and years. And before I go on, if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is WRMI. This is 5950 kilohertz out of the Miami Okeechobee area from the Everglades. It's either Saturday or Sunday night and sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're hearing me out there, you might feel crazy, you might feel lazy, you might have some whiskey, you might be doing things that are risky. That is the big what if. What if the reason why they're doing this is because they are trying to maintain control during dollar collapse, and that means that governments around the world are already rejecting dollar notes, and it means that it's not just that inflation is coming, but hyperinflation and shortages are coming, and life is about to get brutally grim. But what if there are people? And this is where I want to take you on an impossible journey, because I have friends like my friend Jim Davidson. And if you don't know him, he's working on the Ozarkia project. You can just research Ozarkia, but you can also go to freedomlanddao.com. That's freedomlanddao.com. And you can learn more about my friend Jim Davidson and what he's doing. It's an intentional community, liberty-based, decent people, hardworking, having fun, being happy, being peaceful, being free. So yeah, look into my friend Jim Davidson. But the thing about Jim is that he is more of an optimist than me. In some ways, but in some ways, he's actually more of a pessimist. I would think he would say, as he's told me before, that he just doesn't believe those people exist. And I kind of agree with him. When I'm wearing my cynical hat, I say, none of those officers exist any longer. There are no generals willing to say no. And probably that story is BS. Maybe it is. Who knows? But imagine if right now what's happening in the system is mayors and sheriffs and police departments and maybe just onesie-twosie people in the system are just starting to say, this is not legal. Judges are saying, this is not legal, so we're saying no. And as far as the eviction moratorium goes, friends, I'm not too ashamed to say that I'm just broke-ass broke right now. I wish I had a ton of money. I wish I could pay all my bills. I can't. I wish there was going to be an easy way to get there. There isn't. And a lot of Americans are in that boat. So you can, if you want to, get really angry and say, why are so many people so broke? But they are. So we just need to accept that, really. If there are people out there starting to say no, if there are people in the system starting to reject orders, that means you have a kind of civil war. It's not like the American Civil War, which really technically wasn't a civil war. It was a war between two different nations. I know people want to call it a civil war, but actual civil wars are more like the civil wars in Rome, where you have separate parts of the same society at war with each other. In the case of the North and the South, you can make a better case those were separate states, separate nations. That being said, I don't want to get into it because people get really offended when you provide any interpretation of the Civil War that's different than the original. But what if Civil War Part 2 is a quiet one? What if what begins to happen, and this is where you have to pray, because, you know, when you think about the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, and you think about the Holy Spirit, there are many ways of thinking of the Holy Spirit, but in some sense, it is the experiential projection of the power of God. It is the Spirit of the universe touching your heart. Well, imagine if the Holy Spirit out there is out there right now trying to touch people's hearts. Or, as Jim would point out in Malachi 4, trying to turn the parents towards the children and the children towards the parents. Trying to resolve the darkness. Trying to resolve the conflict, the hate, the pain, the trauma, the torture, the abuse. What if the Holy Spirit's out there saying, listen, sheriff, listen, cop. I know you think it's too late, but there was this friend of mine named Saul who went around killing Christians, and it wasn't too late for him, so it's not too late for you. I know that it's impossible to believe. I'm having a hard time believing it as I talk about it. And yet, in terms of scenarios, it really does represent the least worst. It really does represent the scenario where we have a fighting chance at a free country again. And it doesn't mean there's going to be no pain. Listen, there are too many broke people to pretend that, you know, all of this goes away overnight. There are too many people's lives destroyed. Too many businesses were destroyed by the lie. Too much trust has been broken. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think are going to be gone. I think the whole credit card industry could possibly just cease to exist because it really is based on a kind of victimization and control strategy. And for all the, well, you know, the college student didn't have to get the Visa card arguments, the reality is they throw that cheap credit out there knowing that a kid is going to do that and get themselves in trouble. They know the revolving debt is how they're making money. They know the addiction is the key. And as I remind people, and we need to remind ourselves, no one in this crooked empire is innocent. I'm not innocent. The pizza delivery guy on the Death Star, sorry. But if he stopped delivering pizza, maybe some of the stormtroopers would stop doing what they're doing. They're all pissed off. We got no pizza. The point is, there is no innocent person in this. There are some really, really terrible people and actors. I think the banking industry is guilty of some things and responsible for some things that deserve a kind of justice. But the reality is that might not happen. But what if? What if there are still brave men and women in positions of power who believe in liberty and are willing to say no? And what if there's enough of them? Then what we could have is a kind of civil war. Maybe a civil divorce is a better description. I think there could still be violence because I think the deep state is going to do everything it can to combat this. And they'll tell you 80% of Americans are opposed to whatever group is doing what they're doing, but the reality is that's a lie too. What if, and this is a big what if, and if we can be optimistic, and it's hard, but what if, yeah, the psyops were designed to cover up collapse, and what if there are people starting to say no? I mean, one scenario is, you know, something like what the Soviet Union went through. So afterwards, you still have all the states, and, you know, the United States still looks the same on the map. but the federal government would probably be a lot weaker. And I think that's pretty good. I think that's good for everybody. I think that's good for everybody, yeah. In that scenario, we still have a federal government, we still have a Senate, a House of Representatives, but a lot of institutions, to include the Federal Reserve, go away. In fact, you could imagine a return to a level of government we had in 1900. It sounds insane, but if we are going through dollar collapse as an absolute fact, soon there's a whole bunch of stuff we think we can afford that we won't be able to afford any longer. And I know that sounds sad, but is it? Were we ever better off for going around the world messing with reality? I know you'll say, but what about World War II? But if you really investigate World War II, there's no clear-cut case that we're the good guys either. The entire thing was bad. And I don't think there's any obvious thing where you can say, well, but we were the ones who won, the good guys. Well, yeah, and Joseph Stalin was on our team then. And if this is what we're going through, I think it's worth thinking about. I kind of want to move on to another topic here. I didn't want to spend 2 hours on this, but I just want to point out that this is potentially the way through where it's not everything goes to heck. You know, there's a scenario where you still have Washington, D.C., but it's 1900 Washington, D.C., level of government. And I think there's a scenario where we break up into separate countries. And actually, we should talk about that for a second. I think that could be the most likely scenario. And in that scenario, things could be kind of messy, because that's what happened in the Soviet Union. That's what happened when the Austro-Hungarian Empire fell apart. That's what happened when the Ottoman Empire fell apart. That's what happened when the Roman Empire fell apart. I can keep going. When empires fall apart, you often get some interstate violence. And if that breakup comes to the United States, where it's not just the empire, but the actual United States starts to fracture, then yeah, I think you could see violence. And you might see a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, think about it. Many states have nuclear reactors. Many states have nuclear weapons stationed in the state someplace. And at that point, it's going to be a question mark who owns what. If you ask me, if we have a quiet civil war, one potential outcome would be a Texas Republic and a Texas Alliance. You know, I can imagine, and I would hope, the more libertarian folks take control in Texas, and then hopefully they end up joining forces with more libertarian states, and they maintain commerce, and they're not being all like, this is our border, and you got to pay the border tax, crapola. And by the way, if that's one of the arguments against liberty, that we'll have border taxes everywhere, what the hell are you guys talking about these COVID-19 passes so you can cross a state border? You see, this is the thing. There's so much inconsistency in our opponent's position. There's so much crazy. It's really hard to take them seriously. So I took you on a what-if journey. I said, what if the reason why they're doing this isn't because of some huge natural fuzzy catastrophe that they don't have the precise date for, just a window for, and that's why they're doing all of these psyops. What if it's not that? I took you on a journey. What if it is dollar collapse, and then in a bigger sense, the collapse of the empire? And it would explain a lot of things. It would explain information I've gotten from friends of mine about logistics, about manufacturing, about mining, for example. I've received little fragments here and there, and it kind of paints a picture where it could be dollar collapse, which means you'd have shortages. You know, you would have a situation where there's not enough of a lot of stuff because the stuff's made someplace else and they're not taking our money any longer. That is going to be a tough scenario. That's going to be a tough world. We shouldn't pretend that it won't be. But potentially, if we're honest about it and willing to go through it together without turning on each other, that could be a much better world. That's kind of how we have to think of a nation without an empire, is that we get the opportunity to do other things with our resources, maybe even brilliant, beautiful, creative, critical things. And in a free world, I don't know what those things are, because the market will bear, and you've allowed people to make choices. So where does that creative heart go? It goes wherever it can. It goes to Mars. It goes to the bottom of the Marianas Trench. It builds cities at 20 miles up. It builds a colony on the moon. It travels to the nearest star. It designs faster than light travel. If you don't limit the human mind and the human heart, the answer to the question, where does it go? It goes everywhere it can, and it will. Next topic. But yeah, if you're wondering, am I personally hoping for the quiet civil war? Yeah. I think it's the least painful, least awful interpretation of the facts. Yeah, if your entire life is invested in dollars, it's probably going to suck. But if you think about what could happen if we had the quiet civil war, if you think about what might be possible, yeah, some things disappear, but other things become a reality, and there are a lot of good things. We have to see it that way, I think. And we have to not give up in that context. I hope. I'm trying not to. It's crazy. It's like, almost 2 a.m. 2 a.m. in Utah, the cows are besplunkticating. I had a weird thought about keto and carbs, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this subject, but again, if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz. This is WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, and the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie .org/shownotes. And if you pick the right date, you'll get the right show. Anyways, what if the alliance with dogs, in terms of humans and dogs, that happened maybe, 20, 30, 40,000 years ago, what if that was about paleo keto? Like keto diets, paleo diets, right? But then we forged an alliance with cats. And that's when we started getting diabetic. And maybe that's the best argument for saying our friendship with dogs is healthier. Because it's more of a savory, keto, crunchy diet. And less of a squishy, sugar diabetes diet. Maybe. Next topic. So I've owned a device. I have two of them. One's in Indianapolis. I hope to get one day because I left it with a sibling and I don't know if I'm ever going to get back there. I know that sounds crazy. Dan, that's crazy. You'll get back to Indianapolis. Okay. But I left one there. But I currently own the second of two. And the first one didn't break. I just wish it was here because it didn't break. But I own the second of two Storrs & Bickel volcanoes. And if you don't know what a volcano is, it's a vaporizer. Now, before I go much further, if you hate potheads and you hate weed and you think it's evil to use marijuana, I don't really understand, but I kind of at least am willing to respect your position. You have a right to your opinion, obviously. I started using marijuana to treat anxiety and to some extent depression. And I started doing that about, 13 years ago, more or less. And it's not perfect. There is no perfect solution, especially when you talk about depression. If you go on the quote-unquote official drugs that the doctor can give you, those aren't perfect either, brothers and sisters. There are many horror stories. So I started using marijuana to deal with panic attacks and depression about 13 years ago. And it hasn't been perfect, but it has helped. And right now, I gotta just tell you, I think I'd go crazy if I didn't have that help, okay? But again, I probably sound weak to you, and if I do, I get it. But currently, the way I use marijuana is using the Storz & Bickel Volcano. And it's Storz & Bickel is a German company. It's in the show notes. Go to dfgtc.org/show notes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/show notes. And there's a link there for Storz & Bickel. They are a German company. They make a product like the one I have that's a basic vaporizer. What it does is it pumps hot air through a reservoir that contains marijuana. It has a metal filter. The hot air goes through the filter. It heats up the weed. The weed releases a vapor. It's not burning. It's below burning temperature. And, you know, that's important to remember because the one I have has a dial. I usually have it set at about 7. You can set it pretty high, but I have it set at 7. Anyways, it fills a bag. The bag has a valve on it, an easy valve on it, and that's all there is to it. And so you can put any kind of marijuana in it, and it'll vape the marijuana, and it does a pretty good job. And you may be asking, Dan, for what stony pothead reason are you talking about this? Well, I'll give you a couple reasons, Mr. and Mrs. Shortwave Radio. One reason is I just don't want to talk about dark and dreary things, okay? It sucks. We all need to escape. The other reason is this company, Storz & Bickel, makes great product. They don't pay me one dime. They don't pay me one penny. If there's somebody who works for Storz & Bickel out there and you're upset that I'm saying I love their products, fine. Send me a mean email. They don't pay me anything. What I'm telling you is they make a fantastic product. I am living in a household right now where someone that lives here suffers from epilepsy. And I got to tell you, you know, if you're around people who suffer from severe epilepsy, there are many patterns, many behaviors, many things that could trigger it. I won't tell you that this is absolutely true, but I will say this. I think it's easier for this particular person to use marijuana from a volcano vape bag than it is from like a bong. I could be wrong. That might not be true. I have used this product for years. I have run it for years. I mean, almost 24/7 sometimes. It does not break. I think this is a company that cares about quality and consistency. And yeah, the price point for a basic Storz & Bickel Volcano, if you go on their site, they have the classic one and it's got a gold sheen now, which is fine, whatever. The price point is like around $600 American. And since it's, buying it from Europe, who knows if you can get it, whatever. I will tell you something that if you ever intend to use marijuana, if you want to use it therapeutically, I think the volcano is one of the better ways to do it. There are lots of ways of doing it, including making food from marijuana, from the marijuana leaf or flower that's been activated, because you have to activate it, you have to decarb it, you just can't use raw marijuana. But if you decarb it, you heat it up to 200 degrees for about half an hour, then you take that, you put it in butter, you cook it, you make can of butter. Yeah, that's a great way to do it, but it's not the only way. I mention this because it does make me happy, and maybe you think I'm a bad person, but if you smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey, I would suggest you slow your roll. I think it might be one of the healthier ways of doing it. It's not like a vape pen where you're breathing in some wax or oil that's been heated to some completely misunderstood high temperature. Do I believe in the popcorn lung thing? No. But I have used a lot of these vape pens, including the cigarette ones, and they're just not that comfortable. They're kind of painful. They feel like they take the wind away from me. When in reality, with the volcano, for the most part, I feel like it doesn't do that. So yeah, this is a testimonial for free for Storz & Bickel. Storz & Bickel. And I think it's good to remember there are companies that still are out there that produce high quality products. And I don't care that they live in a commie hellhole like Europe, because they are in fact a manifestation of the creative heart in a prison. Storz & Bickel Volcano. The only vaporizer Dr. Freckles uses. Next topic. So I don't want to read this article because it's horrible, and I don't even know that it's true. Before I mention or summarize this, there's a link to an article. It's from Newsweek. It's in the notes. If you go to dfgtc.org/show notes, go to those notes. It's in the notes. It is a Newsweek article about a daughter. I'll read you the headline. It's just too horrible to even talk about. I'll read you the headline, assuming I can get it up here. Daughter of fully vaccinated man who died in rare COVID breakthrough case supports shots. So let me translate that elongated kind of, I don't even know how to describe it, just Byzantine sentence structure that's designed to be ultra vague and ultra pointless. Let me translate that headline. A woman lost her dad because her dad had gotten the vaccine and then he'd gotten COVID-19, and then her dad died. But the woman wants you to know the vaccine helped him. She wants you to know that it would have been worse if he hadn't had the vaccine. It would have been more painful. It would have been more brutal. So it's good that he got the vaccine. I just summarized the story for you. I don't know that it's true, but I can tell you that stories like this are designed to enrage people. And there is no outlet. What are you going to do? Are you going to drive to that town and maybe do something to that weirdo lady? You can't do anything to her because she probably doesn't even exist. It's like the conversation from the previous podcast. I am starting to check things with friends of mine in different places. I'll say, listen, they say Florida is exploding. Florida is melting because COVID-19 is murdering everyone. So I will ask a friend, hey, is this true? And they'll give me a reality check. I've done this with several topics in recent months. It's not perfect. It's not scientific. I'm not telling you that it proves anything. But what I suspect is we're being told a lot of lies, and the lies could be extreme. So this story of a woman who was happy that her dad died because she was happy he took the vaccine because the vaccine made the death less painful, which is convoluted reasoning to say the least, I would say. This story could be crap, brothers and sisters. You need to remember, in a neo-Stalinist hellhole, all of it could be crap. I have no idea if this is true, but it seems like crap. I'm going to move on to the next topic, and And wow, we got 10 minutes left. So I've got a quote from Dr. Freckles, and I think I like this quote a lot. The best people you will ever meet are the ones living closest to the ground. The best people you're ever going to meet are the ones living closest to the ground. That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. And okay, what does that mean, Dan? What does it mean the best people you'll ever meet live closest to the ground? What I mean is this, especially given the last 50 years of American history, which I gotta say the past is prologue and it's worth remarking over. But we have lived in a little miniature age of not simply extravagance, but ego extravagance. It's not just about the stuff, it's about all the beliefs associated with the stuff. It's not just that the internet's amazing, but people believe it's a given we're always going to have the internet. James Howard Kunstler, in I think 2012 or 2013, published a book called Too Much Magic, a kind of follow-up to The Long Emergency. And I don't want to go into peak oil, I don't want to talk about it, but James Howard Kunstler discusses this idea that people have these weird ideas about technology that are really more religious than based on science. So when I say the best people you'll ever meet live closest to the ground, I'd like you to think of it in terms of all the fantasies a lot of people have right now. There are people with these fantasies that they just bought a house, and that house is going to be worth so much that they'll be able to retire. They don't reason on what would have to happen to planet Earth if that were to be the case, on how incredibly strange things could get for that to be true. They simply just assume one variable over time. And that's how a lot of the reasoning works these days, brothers and sisters. It's about one variable over time, maybe two. And the models are simple. They're too simple. They don't really explain very much, but they do justify the propaganda. And since the data is gamed, the models always seem accurate, and they predict everything. A lot of people live in that kind of techno-Tesla, you know, Ray Kurzweil, magical technology universe. They live at, really, in that metaphorical sense or proverbial sense or whatever sense, they live at 100,000 feet. And those are really hard people to talk to. They're hard people to talk about the times right now. And they're probably even worse people to be around if times get hard. And even in good times, isn't it better to be around people that are pretty close to the ground state of humanity? Does that mean I think everybody should be poor? No, that's not remotely what I'm saying. But does it make sense to build mansions and sequester yourself from everyone? Does it make sense to live in such a way that you present the idea that you're special and better? And in this universe as it exists, isn't it just as likely that you'll find yourself right on the sidewalk with everybody else? I would say the best people you will ever meet, the best people, are people closest to the ground. And so Dr. Freckles nailed it. These are also people you can talk to. These are people that understand there are real problems and there are make-believe problems. These are people that are too busy working hard to survive to have much time for, you know, bullshit. These are people who will do just about anything for you because they're real people. And these are people that understand the risks because they take them every single day. Next topic. So my partner in crime, Justin, and I have been working on a shortwave radio project called the Agorist Emergency Network. And if you're interested, you can go to dfgtc.org/AEN. That's Alpha Echo November, AEN. And if you go to deltafoxtrotgolftangocharlie.org/AlphaEchoNovember or AEN, if you go there, you'll get more information, pretty much a rehash of what I'll tell you right now. Every Saturday night, every Sunday night, midnight Eastern Standard Time for at least 30 minutes, but 30 minutes to an hour, starting at midnight Eastern Standard Time, or 4 a.m. UTC, every Saturday and Sunday night after the show, after this show's on WRMI, we are going to be hosting an emergency network call on 7235, that's 7235 or 7235 kilohertz, and it is, I believe, and I want to double check it, it's 40 meters. So, but all that information is at dfgtc.org/AEN. And that's where you can learn more about this. It is an emergency network. The purpose of the network is to allow amateur radio operators, shortwave operators who are either licensed or unlicensed, to give them the opportunity to test their equipment. And so it really is kind of a way to prepare for a scenario where something could happen, where something could cause a problem. And if it does, you will have tested your radio, you will have made contacts, you will have logged call signs with locations, hopefully. And that list of call signs, that's a phone list, folks. That's a phone book. And also, according to the rules, at least as I understand them, for purposes of an emergency, anyone is allowed to use shortwave. Without an emergency, it is only licensed ham radio operators. But in an emergency, anybody can use a shortwave radio. So the purpose of this is to test your shortwave radio. You make a contact, you record a call sign, and so we will be hosting on 7235 kilohertz, 40 meters, lower sideband, Saturday, Sunday night, midnight Eastern Standard Time, or 4 a.m. UTC, for 30 minutes to an hour, we'll be hosting the Agorist Emergency Network. And we'll be doing check-ins and tests. We'll allow people to tune their antennas. We'll allow people, like I said, to record call signs so that in an emergency, if someone says, "Do you know somebody in Dallas?" Well, yeah, there's Whiskey Bravo 96Z or something in Dallas. I'm sure that call sign's wrong according to the coding. But the point is, they have a call sign. They have that information. And by the way, you don't need a license for CB, for CB radio. And you can actually reach out pretty far with a CB in many cases if you're willing to invest in the antenna. My friend Justin knows more about this than I do. So if that's the issue. Anyway, we're at the end of the hour, so we got to close this one out. And I'm just going to say, folks, be careful out there. Find your connectazoid. Find your inner voice.